told me I'd be preaching, and I went over there and talked to him for a little while, and I told him, you know what, I was thinking about what we've been studying in Sunday school, and I said, it's just biblical that you preach long. I said, in Sunday school, we was learning about Ezra. He was reading the book of the Law of Moses, and he started in the morning and read till midday, and then I read about Paul. He was preaching the long midnight hour. I said, that's only biblical. We preach long, but I won't be long tonight. I know you have choir practice, and a lot of us worked, and we got things to do, and I'll be as long as the Lord will have me to be, and I don't think it'll be that long. But if you have a Bible, turn to Philemon chapter number 1. When you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number, we'll pick up the reading in verse number 8. It says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willing. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. 16 says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specifically to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 17, 18, I'll be bringing out my message tonight. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again. Lord, thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, thank you for letting us come to your house once again. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just bless, Lord, all the sick and afflicted. Lord, you know the need. God, I pray you just touch them. Lord, I pray you're the great physician. Anything that has to be done through you, God, I pray you just speak the word and be accomplished even now. God, I pray you just help me, Lord, as I stand one more time. Lord, I pray you anoint me with fresh oil. Lord, I pray you just help me. Lord, I pray, Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need your power. Lord, I need your unction. Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I pray you'll use me one more time if I'm usable. God, I pray you just hide me behind the cross. Lord, preach me, Lord, you never had before. Lord, I pray you just touch my lips of clay. Lord, I want to be an encouragement to your people. Lord, I want to be a discouragement. Lord, I don't want to hinder anything. But God, I pray, Lord, you just, Lord, speak through me. Lord, I know you don't need me, but Lord, I need you. Lord, touch me one more time, Lord, your servant. And Lord, let me be a blessing to your people. Lord, let me encourage them. And God, I pray, Lord, everything said and done be pleasing unto you. Lord, we give you thanks for what you've done. We give you praise for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. As I began thinking about this story, about what exactly happened with Philemon and everything, and here we have Paul. He was a prisoner. He's sitting over there in prison, and he just so happens, God allows the path to come across Onesimus. He's running away from Philemon, and Philemon, no doubt, he was probably a church elder. He was established over there. He was a wealthy man. He had servants and all these other things, and Onesimus, he got out from underneath him, and he was on the run. He was trying to get away from his master, and eventually we find him and Paul sitting next door, or sitting beside each other in a prison cell. We find out in verse number 10, it says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Here we read about Paul. He was not only a preacher on the streets, but he was also a preacher in the prisons. He didn't stop there. Time over there in Acts, we can read about him preaching, and they sprung him with lots, saying, what men, what sirs, what must I do to be saved? So Paul wasn't just a preacher when he was in the temple. He wasn't just a preacher when he's out on the streets, but he was a preacher even whenever he was in there in bonds, sitting under the prison, sitting over there with the guards. So I'm thankful for that. We know that his labor was not in vain. Here we have a slave, a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus, and here he is saved. He said he was begotten in my bonds, and he said, I want you to go back. I want you to return to your master. I want you to go back to him, and if you owe him anything, if you've done him wrong or anything, he'll receive you as he would myself, because I know him. I went there to that church. I preached. I helped him. Me and him are good friends, so he's going to treat you as he would treat me. I'm thankful. You, I'm going somewhere with this. You just hang on, take some notes. And you know what else he said? He said, if he wronged thee, if he owed you aught, put it on my account. Now you got to understand who's saying that. This is a letter Paul's writing. He said, I've wrote it with my own hand. I'm giving it to that runaway slave. I'm giving it to Onesimus. He's going to take that letter and he's going to walk back to Philemon, and he's going to say, I got a word here, and I want you to read that. He said, I got a word. I want you to read that. Before you say anything, take a look at what I have in my hand. And no doubt he got that paper, and he read it. He said, welcome to the family. You're one of us now. He said, I'm not mad at you or anything. He will repay me. Look at verse number 21. Paul knew Philemon so well. Look at what he said about him. He said, having confidence in thine obedience. He knew he would obey, but look what he said. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He said, oh, you're going to go beyond what I expect you to do. You're that type of man. You're that type of elder. You're going to go up and beyond that expectation that I want you to show him. He said, I don't have any worry of that. But number one, if he's done anything wrong, put it on my account. I'll repay thee. I believe that's verse number 19. It says, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. He said, whatever he owes, I'll take care of it. I want, the only thing I want you to do is receive him. Bring him in. Take care of him. And treat him as you would me. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm glad that we've been brought in. I'm glad we've been treated as him. I'm glad if we've ever had a debt, I know who paid my debt. And I'm thankful for that. I tell you, Onesimus, when he was on the run, he was running. But you know what? He came back. He returned. He was a debtor. But you know what? He came back delivered. He was rejected. No doubt walking down that road, he was running away from Philemon. He said, man, I'm rejected. I'm not going to be able to come back. I'm not going to get back what I have, my rights and all that. I don't have nothing. He said, I'm going to be rejected from here on out. But you know what? He went away rejected. But he came back. You know what happened? He was received. Amen. He went away a slave. Right. He went away being in bonds. He went away being under Philemon. But you know what happened to him? He went back. He left a slave. He came back a saint. He came back a son. He came back in the family. He said, begotten in my own bonds. He said, but I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. In verse number 10, I'm getting somewhere with this. Did you know Christ did the same thing for us? Aren't you glad Christ did the same thing for us? Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:24. Who has own self bore our sins in our own body and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He took our sin upon himself and he died upon his tree. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm thankful for that, that Christ, he gave up his life for us. He knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made righteousness of God. It was all because of him. He took our sin upon himself and he took it to the cross, and he was willing to die that we might be able to walk away free, that way we could have life and have it more abundantly. Christ did the same for us. Paul was sitting here in prison. He sent Onesimus back to Philemon and said, whatever he has, whatever he owes you, if he's done anything wrong, I want you to forgive him. I want you to treat him as you would me. And I tell you, that's the same thing Christ did for us. He said, Father, I'll go down there. I'll be your lamb. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to lay down my life for them. And whenever you receive them, I want you would receive me. If you look at me as you look at them, I want you to see me in them. And I tell you, whenever I go before my heavenly Father and I pray and I say, my Father who art in heaven, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, I need some help. You know what? Whenever he looks down, he don't see Chris. He sees Christ. And I'm thankful for that. You know why? Because he don't see my righteousness. The Bible says my righteousness are as filthy rags. There's none good. No, not one. There's nothing good in me. But you know what? There's something good living in me, and that's Christ. That's the Holy Ghost abiding in me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not good in my own. I believe Paul said there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh. But you know what? Paul had the Holy Ghost living in him. The same Holy Ghost that abided in Paul abides in us today. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that provides for us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that's steering us here to glory. And I'm thankful that we're not on our own. We're not just hoping to wing it. I believe there's an old song in that redback hymnal. I'm winging my way back home. I don't have to wing my way back home. I got somebody out in front of me that's leading the way. I'm just following him. I don't have to hope to get to heaven. I don't have to wing my way back. I'm just following the one who left heaven and who went back there to receive him, to receive myself to him. I'm glad that I know where heaven is. I'm glad that the way to heaven is through Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Right. I'm thankful that we have a place to go one day after this world. But here Onesimus, he went back to Philemon. He gave that letter to him. And no doubt he received him. He said, at one time he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable for you and for me. He said, I want you to use him. I want you to receive him, not only as a servant, but as a brother. He said, I don't want you to put him down there. He said, treat him as me. Treat him as a brother. Treat him as one that's going to be in the family. He's got work to do. He said he's profitable for me and for you. Gee, Christ did the same thing for us.
Amen.
He left heaven, came down here. He came down here for the world's worst. Yeah. Lived a sinless life. You know what? He put on him. He took our sins upon his shoulders.
Yes,
walked up Calvary's Hill, bled and died and suffered that we might walk away free.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm thankful for all that. I heard an old preacher. He was praying. He said, Lord, give me a fresh look at Calvary. He said, God, give me a fresh look. I tell you, if we ever need anything today, we need a fresh look at Calvary.
Amen.
I tell you, so many times, I'm getting away from the outline. I'm just going to preach. So many times we become so cold and callous and Calvary don't move us anymore. And we hear the word Jesus and it doesn't do anything for us anymore. I tell you, our heart needs to be broken when we hear the word Calvary. Our heart needs to be broken when we hear the word Jesus and about the shedding of his blood and all that. God help us never become so complacent, so unmoved, unfazed when we hear about his ultimate price. Whenever we hear about him shedding his blood, it doesn't move us anymore. I tell you, whenever you first got saved and you heard the word Jesus, remember then tears just started coming up in your eyes. You'd read over there about they came to a place called Golgotha. They came to a place called Calvary, and then they crucified him. A malefactor on the right and the left, and there hung the Son of God. You read that story, your tears started flowing. You think, my God, how could you do that for someone like me? I can understand someone for like the pastor or Ben or Archie, but Lord, how could you do that for me? Lord, I want to thank you for that love. I want to thank you for that mercy. Lord, thank you for that grace. Our heart starts to move when we read that. But now we come to church and we hear about the songs being sung and I'm not ashamed and about how that there is a fount filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We hear about that and it don't move us. We hear about Calvary, it doesn't faze us. Nothing brings a tear anymore. We're so cold and complacent, nothing moves us. God help us. This preacher got to that point. You know what he did? He got away in his secret place and he said, Lord, give me a fresh vision of Calvary. God, I want to see the blood. Lord, I want to see you hanging on that cross. God, I want a fresh touch. Lord, I want a fresh anointing. God, I want a fresh view of Calvary. You know what God did? God gave it to him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not or you ask amiss. He said, Lord, would you give that to me? Lord, would you break my heart again for you that I might be able to be used of you again? You know what God showed him? God showed him the five wounds of Calvary. Did you know that? The five wounds of Calvary. He said, God showed me that crown that was planted on his head. He said, and they drove that thing. They beat it down on his crown. He said, whenever the kings would go out in their palaces, the rich people would come out there and they look down on Calvary from up high. They look down. You know what they see? They see that crown of thorns. They see that wound in his head. He said that way the rich people, the kings and the priests and all the people up high, when they look down, I tell you, not everybody, even the Romans couldn't be crucified. That was just something for the lowdown. That was just something no one would be wanting to die that way. They'd be willing to go any other way but by a crucifixion. I tell you, they look down on those people. They'd just take those bodies and throw them out in the street. And I mean, just take them over there and just discard them in the garbage. I mean, just out there in the middle, they just take them out there. You know what? He said that way the rich people, when they looked down, the kings and stuff outside their palaces, they would walk out there on the balcony, they look down at Calvary, they see those wounds in his head and think, you know what? That was for me. But you know what? Those two wounds in his foot. That way the poor and the needy, the beggars, whenever they would crawl up to Calvary, they couldn't even do nothing but look up. You know what they saw? They saw the wounds in his feet. And he said that those two hands on his left and his right, he said, those two wounds, he said, that was for the east and for the west. He said, that way the Gentile dogs could come in. That way the Romans and the Greek and all them other people from all over the world could come in. They could see those wounds in his hands. He said, then there was one in his side. He said, that one in his side, he said, that was for the Jews. He said, they were standing by his side when he was crucified that day. He said, those five wounds, he said, that covers the entire world. He said, the rich, they could look down. The poor, they could look up. As far as the east is from the west, and even the Jews. God's not done with the Jews. God's going to return to the Jews. Right now, we're in the dispensation of grace. He's calling out to all those, come, come, come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. I'd say he's calling out to them. He's drawing them with the Holy Ghost. But one day, once it's all said and done, once Christ got his bride, he's going to say, son, go call your bride home. The church is checking out. And you know what? That door, the dispensation of grace, is going to slam shut. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to turn it back over to the Jews. God's going to turn his heart and his hand over there and start dealing with them again. But I'm thankful that he did that. He was willing to die and suffer and bleed on the cross of Calvary. That way we could come. I'm thankful that someone like me could come. Someone like me could approach him. Now, don't get me wrong when I say that. I know that the Holy Ghost has to draw us, but you know what? I believe Nicodemus went and searched for Jesus by night, didn't he?
Yes,
then over there, that's John chapter 3. You read John chapter 4, what happened? Jesus went looking for a woman at the well. But you know what I'm saying? That we can find God if we search for Him. He said, "You shall find me if you search for me with what? All your heart." I'm not talking about that. Don't get that confused. But you know what? Something happened when I came to Christ. Whenever I was birthed into Christ, whenever the Holy Ghost got me, arrested my soul, took me to bloody Calvary, and I said, "Lord, I want to side with you. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. And Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. And Lord, would you save me?" You know what happened? A couple things happened. I got saved, brother. But you know what else happened? A couple different things in my life took place. I'm to my message now, and I'll be done. I'd say I came to Him dead, but you know what? I came to Him dead, but I walked away alive. I tell you what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in the time past you walked according to the curse of course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit now which worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also have you had conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is as rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Listen to verse number 6. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." I'd say I came to Him dead, but you know what? Whenever I walked away, I walked away alive. Alive. That word quickened, it means to make alive, to give life, to vitalize, to give back. I'm glad that whenever I came to Christ, I went to Him a dead man. But you know what? I walked away a man that was alive. Amen. And you know, that life can only be found in Christ. He gave me life that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm thankful that I have life. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 11 and 12. It says, "This is a record that God hath given us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. He hath the Son, hath life, and he that hath the Son of God not, hath not life." I'm thankful that I have the Son of God living in me. I'm thankful that I have Him. And you know why? Because I have life. Not only that, I have abundant life. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life. And that only comes from Jesus Christ. We can't get that from the world. It only comes through Him. And you have to find it at Calvary. And I'm thankful for that. I'd say I came dead. I left alive. I went there an old man. Now don't take that. I'm not old. I'm still young. I'm still in my 20s, so I'm young. I might have gray hair, but I'm still young. I went there an old man, but you know what? I walked away with a new man. I walked away being a new man. I'd say that old man, he's dead. I'm thankful that old man's dead. That old carnal thing, it died out. Now don't get me wrong. We have to die out to sin daily. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily battle. I tell you, the victory's already won. The victory's won at Calvary. But we're going to have to learn to crucify that flesh. We're going to have to learn. Paul, all throughout the Scripture, he says, "Mortify your members." That word mortify is to be put to death, to cast away, to kill. We're going to have to learn not to kill. And I'm talking about that. We're going to have to mortify our flesh. We're going to have to die out to our sins, die out to our selfishness, die out to the things that we want to do, die out to our lust. We're going to have to learn to crucify them things. Paul learned that. Paul said, "I die daily." He said, "Those things which I do, I don't do, and those things which I do, I don't." Right. You know, if Paul had a struggle with his flesh, what makes you think me and you were not going to have a struggle? Right. You think about all the things Paul did. Paul was greatly used. Yes, he's riding one day, and a bright light shone down from heaven, knocked him off his horse, and God said, "You know, I want you to do something for me." He said, "I want you to go down to that house of Ananias." He said, "Who art thou, Lord? What would you have me to do?" The rest is history about how God used him. But if God could get his attention and use him in a mighty way, and us, we were saved by faith through grace. I tell you, Paul heard. Basically, we could say Paul, he was saved because he saw. But you know what? We haven't seen, we haven't heard. But you know what? We take him by his word. He spoke to our heart. And if Paul, seeing everything he did, seeing about how God moved and did those great things for him, if he still had a problem with his flesh, what makes me and you think that we won't have a problem with our flesh? I tell you, we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to battle that thing daily. We're going to have to mortify. We're going to have to kill, to put to death, to become dead. He said, "I die daily," in 1 Corinthians 15:31. I tell you, it's a daily battle with the flesh, but we can have the victory. We can have the victory. We can walk in the victory. We can walk in the power of God. But we're going to have to take mortifying that flesh. You can read more about that. Ephesians 4:22-24. Romans 8:13 talks about him mortifying your members. If you're taking notes, I'm not going to read all them. But I'm glad that we can conquer that flesh. We can conquer that old man. That old man's dead. It's put to death. Galatians 2:20. "For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live," I tell you, he's saying, you know what? I died out to myself. I died out to my sin. I died out to the world. And the life I'm living now, it's in Christ. He's living in me. That's the life I have. I tell you, a lot of Christians, we need to learn to die out to self. die out to our sins, die out to our wants, our desires, our lusts, our aspirations, what we want in our life. You know what? God could actually use us once again. We might be profitable if we could ever learn to die to self. I came dead. I left alive. I came an old man. I walked away being a new man. I say I came in rags, but I left with a robe. I came in rags. The Bible says, I believe, let me find it. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness as are filthy rags, and we also fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind hath taken us all away. I say our righteousness are filthy rags. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good about me. But you know what? The Holy Ghost lives in me. That good, that desire I have to do good, it doesn't come from the flesh. It comes from God. That's the Holy Ghost abiding in me. The want to I have's changed. My desires changed. What I press towards changed. Why? Because God changed me. He changed my heart. The outside's still the same. But you know what, Pastor? There's something inside that's living inside of me. It didn't come from the world. It didn't come from myself. It came from the Spirit, and I'm thankful for that. It's making me into the man of God that I need to be. It's making me into the Christian I need to be. It's making me into be everything that God wants me to be. It's coming through that drive that He put inside of me. It's not me, it's Him. Christ living in me. I tell you, I came with Him with rags, but I left with a robe. You can read about the prodigal son, what happened to him. I know that word's not in the Bible, but you know the story I'm talking about. He left. When he came back, the father said, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth a ring, bring forth shoes. Kill the cat if fat. My son, which is gone, come back home. It's dead. He's now alive. He gave him a robe. Over there in Isaiah, it also talks about the robe of righteousness that we have through Him, through His blood. Which I'm glad I cashed in my rags and I got His robe. Number four, can I tell you, I went there alone. But you know what? I walked away with an advocate. I walked down there. I went there alone. Sure, I had friends in the world and I thought I had all this. But you know what, Pastor? Deep down, I was alone. They only were my friends for what I had. They're only my friends for what I could do for him, for them. They're only my friends because I could benefit them. We were alone when we were lost in our sins. There wasn't no one that cared for us. But you know what? Whenever we went to Calvary, God birthed us, washed us in His blood. You know what, Gary? We walked away with an advocate. We're not alone anymore. I'm thankful that we have an advocate with the Father. The Bible says, let me find that verse. I wrote it down. It says, my little children, these things I run unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. I'm glad we have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad we have someone to go between us. I'm glad we got someone that's bearing our record. I'm glad that someone's going to the Father and pleading our case. Amen. I'm glad we went there alone, but you know what? We didn't leave alone. We walked away with a friend. We walked away with an advocate. We walked away with a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We walked away with one that will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We walked away with one that said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad all those promises we felt in His Word, we can claim them at heart. We went there alone, but we left with an advocate. I tell you, church, I went there a sinner. I walked away a saint. I tell you, I walked there a sinner. Now, don't get me wrong. We sin every day. I fall. I stumble every day. But you know what? My sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our iniquities. I tell you, I'm glad He took our sin, my past, my present, my future, all my sins, laid them on Christ. Amen. He paid that price when He died on Calvary. I heard an old preacher say, whenever Satan comes by and reminds you of your sins and what you used to be and where you used to go and the things, how you fail God every day, he said, you know what? It just occurred to me the other day that the devil, in order to find that, he had to go to Calvary. And he had to get that thing off that. He said, your sins and stuff, what does the Bible say over there in Colossians? Your handwriting of ordinances, He nailing them to His cross, nailing them to His tree. Those things, what you used to be, you know what Jesus said? I'll take those. He went over there and he hammered that thing in that cross. Whenever the devil comes by reminding you what you used to be, he had to go to Calvary first to get those things. You know what? Whenever he went to Calvary, he already knew he was defeated. I'm glad my case rests at Calvary. Amen. I'm glad the blood covers it all. I went there a sinner, but I left a son. I left there a saint. The Bible talks in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2. Beloved, now ye the sons of God, and doth not yet appear. I'm not going to quote all that. I'm going to move on. I've got a couple more. But I'm glad we went there a sinner. But we left a saint. We left there a son. We left there free. I tell you, I went there in darkness, but I left in light. I went there in darkness. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I tell you, the Bible talks about the God of this world is blind to them. The Bible says that, listen to this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're no longer in dark no more. We're in the light. We're not traveling. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible says have no fellowship with darkness. That's a light and dark. They don't go together. Light will always conquer. You go home tonight and you flip off your lights and you try to start a light and have the darkness conquer that light. You'll never do that. It don't work that way. I'm glad that a light will always conquer that dark, no matter how dark the room is. If you got a little, just a little flicker of light, you know what? That light is still going to shine. I'm still glad that we lived in a sin-cursed world, and this thing looks like it's getting ready to just fall off from the deep end. It looks bad and wicked, but you know what? I'm glad the light's still shining. I'm glad the light's not ever lost its power. I'm glad the blood's not ever lost its power. That light is still shining. It's going to shine till the day Jesus comes and relieves us. Until he calls us home, I'm glad that light's still going to be in this dark world. Why? Because there are sinners dying and going to hell. They need to see the light. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them and reveal unto them their lost condition. And what's that going to take? It's going to take the preaching of the God's word. It's going to take us being a witness. It's going to take us working for Christ. It's going to take us being the person that we need to be to get the gospel out there, to get the word out there, that God still can save old sinners. I tell you, I'm glad I went there in the dark, but I left in the light. I went there with fear, with shame, with guilt. But you know what? I left with peace. The Bible says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, the peace of God. It talks about that, how we have the peace of God with him through Christ. Romans 5:1. I mean, it talks all about peace. I'm going to read them all. But I'm thankful that we have the peace with Christ. We have peace with God. Why? Because we have an advocate with God. Amen. Father. We have an atonement. We have a sacrifice. I'm glad that sacrifice was sufficient. Amen. Pastor, you opened up with the scriptures over there in Isaiah. It talks about all those things. By his stripes we are healed. And he was put to shame. And the Bible says that it pleased him to bruise him. It pleased God to put him through that. God was pleased. Why? He said whenever he see the travail of his soul, he will be satisfied. I tell you, God was satisfied with that sacrifice on Calvary. Amen. God looked over the bowels of hell, looked over the balcony of heaven and said, I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with my son. I can tell you, I'm satisfied with Christ too. I'm satisfied with God's son. Why? Because he did the work no man could do. I had a debt I couldn't pay. And he had a debt he didn't owe. I'm glad he came and paid that debt and I walked away free. I tell you, I came dead, I left alive. I came old, I left new. I went with rags, I left with a robe. I came alone, I left with an advocate. I came a sinner, I left a son. I came in darkness, but I left in light. Amen. I came carrying guilt, shame, fear, all those things. But you know what? I walked away with light. I walked away with peace. I walked away with joy. I walked away with all those things God promised us, Bible talks about, and he daily loadeth us with benefits. I tell you, salvation was just the start of it. There's a whole lot more to serving God. There's a whole lot more than just salvation. I tell you, people think that we were saved to keep us from dying and not going to hell. I tell you, that's just a benefit of it. You know the reason he came to save the sinners. That's why Christ came to save sinners. But you know what? It wasn't so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He came to save us from under the curse of the law. But that's one of the consequences of being under the curse of the law, that we die. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we have that. But all that saying this, it wasn't to keep us out of there. It was to restore us, to reconcile us, to bring us back to God. That was the chief goal. Not that we wouldn't go to hell, but rather we could go to God. I'm thankful we don't have to go to hell. We can go to God. I'm glad that we've been restored. I'm glad that we've been reconciled. I'm glad that we've been redeemed. I'm glad that we've been brought back. And we're have fellowship with God. Closing night, you think about Onesimus. When he was leaving, he had that letter in his hand. He said, I'm going back to Philemon. I'm going to give him that letter. I'm going to tell him exactly. No doubt walking by, he thought, I wonder what he's going to say. He might be in a bad mood. And he might say, you know what, you'll always be my slave, especially once you left me and you did that to me. There ain't no way I can see you as I would Paul. Paul would never do that to me, but you did. No doubt he walked home. He thought, man, I don't know what to say. Now I was in prison. He's going to find out I was a prisoner. I got a past. There ain't no way he's going to receive me. I wonder what he's going to say. No doubt someone probably saw him when he was walking back home. He said, oh, Onesimus, where are you going? I'm going back home. I'm going back to Philemon. I'm going back to my owner. No doubt he said, aren't you scared? He could put you to death. He could kill you. You ran away from him. You put him to shame. You did all that. And you're going back to him. He said, yeah. Why ain't you scared? He said, no. Why not? He said, I got something in my hand. He said, I got a written word I'm going to give him. I'm going to have faith in that word. I'm going to have faith in that, what I'm carrying in my hand. I've got a written word I'm going to trust. Can I tell you, church, tonight, the world might come up and say, didn't you used to do that? And aren't you that person? And aren't you that same old person? Who do you think you are? Why are you doing what you're doing? What happened? Aren't you scared what they might say? Not really. You know why, church? I got a written word. Just like Onesimus had that letter in his hand, he's going to give over there to Philemon. He said, you know what? Receive him. I got a written word in my hand from God Almighty. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same became flesh and dwelt among us. I tell you, we got the written word. You know what? If anyone says anything about us, over there in Rome it says, who should put the charge to the God's elect? For God that justifieth. Who's going to lay anything to our claim? If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, if the whole world's against me, Pastor, you know what? I got faith in this book. I got somebody with me that's greater than the world. Each time they come up with an accusation, each time they come with something, I got this word I can rely on. I got this word to take me home. I got this word to carry me when I can't go on. I'm glad this word, it's important. And you know what? His letter is found in this word. The same thing Onesimus took back to Philemon. You know what? We're carrying in our hand that same old letter. And you know what? He went away free. I'm glad whenever I went to Calvary, God gave me a letter that I could walk away free. You know what? My past is gone. That old man is dead. Macy's, you come to the piano. Said I wouldn't be long tonight. I'm glad that old man is dead. I'm not the same man I used to be. There's been a change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we stand over the house tonight. Have you been made new? Have you took that journey to Calvary? Been washed in the blood? Are you the same person? The Bible talks about the dog returning back to his vomit. The pig, all that is going back. Are you the same person? Or has there been a change in your life? I say, God will make a change in your life. God will take the old and make a new. The Bible says over there in Jeremiah, the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, seemeth good for the potter to make it. He didn't throw it away. You know what he did? He made it new. It wasn't found marred. It was marred in his hand. You know what he did? He said, I got something here, but I don't like the looks of it. And he just crushed it. Sometimes God will have to mar us in his hands. Sometimes God will have to just break us. Sometimes we might look good. We might think, man, that's a good pot. That's a good cup. But God says, I don't want you to be a cup. I got something better for your life. It might look to us as a good vessel. But God says, no. I'm going to mar, I'm going to mess that thing up to make it something I can use. I tell you, if you have a need tonight, why don't you come? I'm glad the old man is dead. I'm no longer that same person. I'm dead. We should die every day. Paul said, mortify to put to death the members. If you have a need, why don't you come?